Oh, yeah. You got to give it up to my DJ, Dave Miranda, for mixing up these
Yeah,
hits.
DJ Casero has nothing on me.
No way. Cash is out. DJ Dave's in the house.
Yeah.
Where do you mix these up, man? Do you find these or do you
It's so weird.
Them?
This one, I was actually driving and it came out on Pandora. And I'm like, whoa, Architects, Creative, this and that. I'm like, perfect, that's
no
her bumping. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
This song came out?
The song, yeah.
How random.
Yeah, and I just look for it on YouTube, and there it goes.
It's appropriate because sitting next to me is architect designer Lenore Weiss. Hey, Lenore, how are you?
Good. How are you, Frank?
Good to have you back.
Good to be back. How are you doing?
Doing good. What's been new since the last time we seen you?
Well, some fun new projects. It's finally turning. I'm looking out at Michigan Avenue right now and seeing the sun shining, no snow, beautiful weather.
Right.
We're all getting ready for spring, thinking about new building projects.
Sure. Don't jinx us, though.
Okay.
Every time somebody comes on and says, oh, look, it's beautiful, like next day it snows.
Right.
It is Chicago.
Yes, that is true.
So, Lenore, for the people who didn't hear you the first time you're on the show, tell us about yourself.
Okay. I'm an architect and designer, working mostly in the Chicagoland area. I do single-family residences, condos, and get into the way people feel in space and the psychology of space a little bit.
Which is why I like you. Not because you're nice and you're smart and you're a good architect, but I love your approach to the process. And it's coming from that visceral human place.
Yes.
And what we feel first. I approach my design practice almost identically with that in mind is energy. It's all about energy.
It is all about energy. And one of the things that I like to think about is that architects, people think, are so, you know, distant that there's, you know, it's a divorced thing from the actual experience of space, but it is the human experience of space. I like to call it anthrotecture sometimes, you know, about thinking about how people actually react, look, feel, and perform inside of a space. And it's all important. It's all a synergy that needs to be considered as we shape those spaces.
Would you observe your clients in their space first? Do you like to, like, secretly, like, pull a meeting at their house? And, you know, yeah, you got to do the particulars, but it's really just to kind of analyze how they operate in that space, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's critical. Before we start any new project, if there are, you know, we laugh about this, but there are different opinions sometimes within decision makers in a household.
You think?
So I always make sure that both or several, whoever's making decisions in a new living or working space, are present at that initial meeting, because I want to hear everybody's opinions. I want to hear how they think about their current spaces, what their objectives are for their new spaces, and how we can accommodate everybody's needs.
Do you do the solo individual meetings as well?
Yes. Because sometimes things come out that are not, you know, necessarily known to everybody, but they do come out, and I do like to make sure that everybody's needs are being met.
Sure. And I do believe a lot of what we do in the design and creation business is therapy.
Exactly.
I mean, you're really, you know, we're invading the most personal place in somebody's life, their home.
Exactly.
And we're, you know, they're inviting us in to help them transform that space. But with that, you know, you're transforming a lot of emotional ties to walls, furniture, colors, you name it, you know, they're emotionally attached to it. And our job is to break that emotional detachment, you know, create some detachment in that space, and then realign them with a new world.
Exactly.
Have you had people, like, kind of break down on you in the process?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's happened before, but it's critical to getting them to think about what their intentions are for the new space. You know, what worked in the past, what didn't work in the past. And that's sometimes what the emotional component, you know, breaks down.
Yeah.
And but it's uncomfortable, but it is critical to understanding how you can improve on the new spaces.
Definitely. And they're it's so powerful. When I lived in Florida, I was consulting with a group that was helping transition drug addicts out of therapy back into home.
Mm-hmm.
And what they found was when they were not transforming the environment before they came home, that just the being in the same space with the same smells, the same colors, the same fabric, the same texture would elicit the urge to do drugs again because of all of the tactile and visual elements around them. So when I heard this, I was like, man, you guys, we got to bring me in.
Exactly.
We got to fix this. We got to change their environment before they come home. And the statistics showed that when we did that, the recovery rates stayed high.
It's brilliant, actually. It's the whole idea, and we touched on this last time too, that all the senses need to be engaged in a positive way.
Yeah.
And if you're introducing somebody into an environment that caused bad behavior before or undesirable behavior before, how can we make that shift to help improve? So, you know, you mentioned color therapy. You know, at one time I had a client who had a child with ADHD, and a very well-meaning mother. And she wanted this child to be happy, so what did she do? She painted this child's room red because she thought this was a happy color. But in fact, in color therapy, this couldn't have been a worse color for a child that needed to focus, calm down, use his bedroom as a place to re-energize, re-center. And so we changed all the things you talked about. We changed the tactile sense. We changed the materials into softer materials, the lighting into softer lighting, the colors into more soothing colors. And this child really did much better in school because of it.
Yeah. I mean, color psychology or design psychology has made its way into the corporate environment.
Absolutely.
Restaurants use this heavily.
Yeah.
You know, very obvious example of McDonald's with their red and yellow. There's an urgency there. They want you to come in, buy, and leave.
Exactly.
There's no lingering versus a Starbucks where it's all about the ambiance and all about come, sit, chat, hang with your friends, spend money on coffee and dessert.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I like those comparisons because I think that's a great simple way to show somebody like, hey, if you're not feeling right. You know, I just recorded a video on this human renovation project that I'm working on. And one of the topics was the quantum design element.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how if you are really feeling sick in your space and you have no idea why, and all the logical reasons are eliminated, it's really time to look at your space differently to say what in here is not agreeing with me.
Absolutely. It can be something as simple as adjacencies. You know, I'm thinking of it from an architectural standpoint.
Sure.
If that space is adjacent to another space that is offensive in some way, and the circulation path takes you through it, or the acoustics, you share it some way. Right now, I have, I'm working on an office where my client shares a space with an oral surgeon, and there is not enough acoustical separation, and it's unpleasant. So
sure.
We're going to remediate that.
So the drilling and screaming is really
not soothing. Not so good.
Yeah.
But all of the senses need to be engaged positively,
sure.
Need to be protected and thought about properly.
If you have any design or architect questions about your home, you can call us at 312-981-7200, and we will definitely help answer your questions. And by the way, for the next half hour, it's free. Free advice from high-level professionals. Take advantage, folks. 312-981-7200. You can text your questions as well. So downsizing, right-sizing, tell me about it.
We have this new concept where people had, for a long time, have decided that they want less space. Move into the city maybe, get rid of the big suburban house, move into a smaller condo. We talked about that last time, and how that may or may not be appropriate for some people. Some people like where they live. Some people like the bigger house. But a lot of times, some of those, as we move through stages of life, some of those rooms become empty. Some of those areas become empty, and that's a natural thing.
Which in turn is a big waste of space.
It is a big waste of space, and a good size fit is when all the rooms of all the spaces are being used appropriately.
Sure.
So sometimes we reassess and we think about how can we make this useful in the context where it is. Sometimes moving is not an option.
Right.
So we think about what our next phase of life is, how we want to use those spaces, and what would be appropriate. You know, recently I've had a couple of projects where this is not a new thing, where maybe the standard living room or standard dining room has never been used. Now, with the kids gone for empty nesters, it's really not used, and it's cavernous.
Yeah.
So we've turned it into different kinds of rooms with themes, if you will.
Like, give me a for instance. I'm curious.
For instance, a bar. For instance, a lounge.
I like that.
For instance, a dining room or a living room that was never used becomes a lounge with some beautiful custom-made furniture.
You know what takes me back to when you're saying this is like Austin Powers, like, I know it's funny, but I'm being serious. Like the 70s, mm-hmm. You know, where like there was lounges and bars in the immediate area. So you came off of, you know, the entry. There might be a little like, you know, foyer, but then you step down into like the lounge pit.
The pit.
The pit. Let's bring back the pit.
Yeah.
I kind of like it. Right?
Exactly. But no, but maybe somebody has taken up photography. Maybe somebody has taken up, you know, a different kind of, you know, a book group or at the center of a book group where the living room becomes a library where they entertain, maybe a salon type of entertainment.
Sure.
And, you know, as we move through life, our interests change. We gather more. Maybe before somebody wasn't such a big cook. And they've taken cooking lessons in Tuscany or some such
yeah.
thing, and they decide, now's the time I'm going to hit that amazing kitchen that I've always wanted. You
yeah.
know, why not?
Don't laugh. I had a client who actually said, I want a stripper pole
okay.
in my son's old room. I was like, okay, I get it. And not, you know, for dirty reasons, but it's a new workout fad.
Yes.
Pole dancing is the new thing.
It's quite a workout.
It is quite a workout from what I understand. So, yeah, she was like, yeah, I'd like one of these for exercise. Instead of a traditional exercise room, I want like a hardwood floor with a pole going from the ceiling to the floor. I didn't ask any further questions at that point.
I think that was a good idea. But, you know, things like exercise, people do exercise, create exercise rooms,
yeah.
meditation rooms, yoga rooms, all kinds of different specialty spaces that really take up the space that...
How about pet spaces?
Pet spaces are great.
Yeah.
I've done dog grooming rooms that have areas just for, you know, for food, for tables that fold down for grooming, showers. There's a lot of homes that I do that have special dog showers.
What is your thoughts when you have kids to allow them, and I'm saying this because I was just at a St. Patrick's Day party yesterday, and I was talking to a group of people, and they're all talking about their homes, and like, oh, you designed? Oh, yeah, yeah. So they're giving me, I always get that, you know, it's like a hairdresser walking to a room,
right.
and somebody knows, they're asking you for
like
the latest.
Bangs?
Yeah, exactly. So somebody's like, you know what? I just threw my hands up. I have three young kids, and if you come to our home right now, there's a trampoline in the front room, there's gym mats in the other room, and we don't care.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they don't care. They're like, our house is messy. There's stickers on the walls. We've given up trying to paint over the drywall. And there's something to that that's like, and she said, and the reason why I'm okay with this is she said, my kids are constantly happy.
Right. It's embracing.
What's your thoughts on that?
I think it's wonderful. They're embracing the stage that they're at.
Yep.
And they're making the most of what they have. And if that's what they want in the spaces, if they're not going to be used otherwise, what would be the sense in having an empty dining room or the old, you know, now I really am dating myself, the living room with the plastic on the furniture. Don't touch, don't
yep.
sit, don't walk.
I think there's some of that still in my mother's basement.
Okay. It happens.
And it hasn't been touched. It's like pristine. It's made in 1942, the sofa, and it's still looks exactly the same since the day they made it.
Aww.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
It's my grandmother's, I think. But I've tried to take the plastic off. Just, they won't allow it.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
it'll be an antique at one point.
Yes.
Yeah, we'll take some calls from you guys, too. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. We'll take our first call right now. We got Mike, who just called in. And Mike, tell us what your design question is.
Hello?
Hey, Mike, how are you?
Oh, good. Hi. My wife and I live in a house in Skokie, and we have a question about how the process of figuring out what we want to do. We want a screened-in porch, and the only place possible would be near the back of the house, and we can't figure out the process of doing it or even to actually agree on different ideas on how it could be done. So we're looking for a person with ideas. We're looking for a person who has the knowledge of what is possible to do and really kind of how to take the first step.
Well, I'm sure that Lenore can certainly, and I can definitely help you via phone, and we can certainly set something up where Lenore can take a look. But you know, from what you're describing, you're the perfect client for a design build situation where you don't know really the details of what you want, so you need the designer to help you get there and kind of clarify that vision, and then you need the actual how do you do it part, which Lenore, you could speak to this. Approaching a project like Mike's, how would you advise Mike to go for it?
The first thing I would do is to consider how you want to use that screened-in porch. How many people do you want to occupy that space? Is it something for entertaining, or for a smaller family, for a couple? And actually, the actual space the dimensions of the space and how it's going to be used. Do you need a big dining table? Do you need just a couple of lounge chairs? So that's part of the program. The next thing is, you know, the adjacency. What do you want it next to? If you're going to be doing a lot of grilling, how is it going to interact with the spaces that exist in the house, and what's going to create a very logical and functional flow from the inside to the outside through the space?
Do you have a lot of these questions answered, Mike?
Well, some of them. I mean, there's a very limited space where it could be, which is the back of the house where there's two bedrooms, and we don't mind giving up a bedroom. But we have an idea what the screened-in porch would look like.
Are you trying to do this, Mike, without, sorry to interrupt here, but are you trying to do this without putting an addition or some kind of, you know, external porch? Are you trying to convert a room into a screened area?
Well, I think everything is open and not possibly on the table. We don't really know what would be possible. I mean, we wouldn't be opposed to maybe converting a corner of the room or extending out or even extending up. So we're just looking for ideas. We brainstorm and we think about it and look at it, and we've had people, you know, just like friends come out and, hey, take a look at this, and then they mm-hmm. would look at it and give some ideas, and we kind of raise our eyebrows and maybe not. I don't know if it's workable. So
yeah.
I think we need somebody with a little more expertise
sure.
to look and see what's possible and who has the experience to see that they know other houses that this has been done before.
Absolutely, Mike. I'll tell you what, we're running out of time. Let's grab your information, and then we'll have Lenore reach out to you. We could certainly put somebody together, and if you know you need assistance on that, I could definitely help you with that as well. Dave, you'll take Mike's information? All right, Mike, thanks for calling the show. We appreciate it. Hold on, and my producer Dave will grab your number.
Will do.
All right. All right, folks, we're going to take a break here. Lenore, thank you so much. Unfortunately, we're running out of time. I know we have a lot to talk about. Where can people get a hold of you?
At info@lenoreweissstudios.com or 844-LWS-1818.
Awesome. We look forward to having you back.
This is the Frank Fontana Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Hey, everybody. We're going to switch gears a little bit, and there is a lot of flu bugs going around, and people are getting nasty colds, and I'm not. I'm sorry to toot my horn on that one, but I am not. And one of the reasons I think is because I take Natron Healthy Trinity. Joining me on the phone is the founder of Natron, Natasha Trenov. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Did you hear my opening statement? Everybody in my house is sick, Natasha. It's so great to hear from you again. And I've been taking my Healthy Trinity religiously, and I am not ill, knock on wood. What do you think of that?
I rarely get the flu, if ever. My employees all get sick every year like clockwork, but my husband and I rarely, if ever, get sick.
And there's a lot of science behind this. Why don't you quickly give us the background as to why that is the case?
Well, first of all, there's so much science coming out about the microbiome, which means the microbiota, that's the bacteria and the other microbes found in your gut, that they're really influenced by environment, not by genetics. So if you're eating, you know, a bad diet, a sugary diet, not replenishing the beneficial bacteria, the bad bacteria will aggravate your immune system, lower your immunity, and hence you will be much more susceptible to disease. It's as simple as that. And people don't understand that in the Western cultures, we have changed our food supply to a much more processed sugary food, which feeds the wrong type of bacteria in our gut. And they stimulate us to want more of this because it's in their best interest. And henceforth, we have a massive problem with chronic illness in Western societies.
Yeah, I mean, it's so true, and the diet issue is definitely one to focus on. We could do a whole show on that. One of the reasons I wanted to talk to you, Natasha, is recently I read this article that Whole Foods pulled a bunch of probiotic-labeled product out of there, none being yours, of course. But what is this all about?
Well, it's about that, you know, people unfortunately take advantage of the consumer's ignorance, and they put so-called probiotic labels on junk food such as chips, that are sweetened with sugar, beverages, baked goods, trail mix, granola bars, frozen yogurt, candy, chocolate, and pizza, just as a short list.
Yeah.
And Whole Foods said, you know what, that's not right, because people are assuming they're getting some probiotics and they're indulging in these foods, which are really not healthy for them on a daily basis. and the false belief thinking they're getting some kind of a significant dose of a probiotic.
So how could they get away with that?
Consumers are sort of guilty for that because we want to be told that we don't have to change and we can eat these foods and still be healthy, which is not the truth because there's so little probiotics that survive in these foods that it's almost negligible. But the problem is these foods, with their high sugar content and carbohydrate content, are then fueling exactly the bacteria and yeast in your gut that you don't want to be fueling.
Yes. And how do they get away with it, these companies? I mean, are they saying it's the dairy that's giving them the probiotics, or are they sprinkling probiotic powder on their products?
They're just sprinkling probiotic powder on their products, and there's absolutely no test to see if anything survives or if you're getting any kind of a significant dose to help you at all. But in the meantime, you're consuming these products on a daily basis, and that could be contributing to a host of other problems.
Interesting. I talk about your products all the time, Natasha. I'm a huge fan personally because I do believe they work. I know they work. My entire family takes them. My kids take them. And there's a lot of research in how great it is for your kids. And that's why I'm trying to get them, you know, to understand that this is going to be a part of their life forever. How does this taking the right probiotic for kids help?
Well, for instance, we all know that children in westernized cultures, specifically North America, 94.7% of the children, even born vaginally and breastfed, do not get the essential beneficial bacteria that kids in third world cultures get and have much better mental function and health. This is very disturbing. I've been talking about this for 30 years. Unfortunately, now the science is coming to the forefront. The bacteria called Bifidobacterium infantis, that Natron has had for 25 years in the market, is now been recognized by scientists at UC Davis and around the world as being the essential bacteria necessary for a healthy infant. And as I said, less than 5% of the infants born in North America have this bacteria, which breast milk was designed over millennia to specifically stimulate this bacteria in healthy newborns. So we have a problem right from birth here.
Sure.
And that's why we have an explosion of allergies and childhood, you know, diseases, because setting that microbiome right with when the child is born and then introduced to food means everything to the child's health.
Well, and the oxymoron to all this is that, you know, they make bad food inexpensive, you know, so like you can go to the, you know, you can even go to the dollar store today and buy canned foods and processed foods. And, you know, and that's so easy to save money and say, oh, I'm saving money, but I'm putting, you know, you're putting crap in your kid's body. And if, and this is just my twist on this, if you took a little bit of that savings and bought a good probiotic and countered what you're putting in your body with that probiotic, you're going to be at least, you know, 30, 40, 50% better off, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's not just my opinion. It's thousands of scientific articles that support that. They talk about that, you know, in the West, the diversity of our microbiota in our microbiome is fading, and that's causing the explosion of, you know, obesity, of, you know, autoimmune disease, you name it. I could go down a bucket list that's a mile long.
I know we can. And Natasha, how can people get a hold of you? And if they, because I know you're great about actually answering emails and questions about your products, your faces on every single bottle. You're an integral part of the brand. What's the website and where people can find you?
Right. The website is www.natren, spells N-A-T-R-E-N.com, or you can call and talk to one of the people who've been working with me for 10 years or more to help you customize your probiotic supplementation at 866, the number 4, and the word Natren. N-A-T-R-E-N.
Awesome. Natasha, thank you so much. Unfortunately, we're running out of time. I could talk to you all day about this. Let's get you back on here real soon.
Thank you so much. And this is my topic. This is my life.
I love it. Thank you, Natasha. Have a great Sunday.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right. There's a reason that probiotic industry is a multi-billion dollar industry, people. It's proven that probiotic consumption will help keep your body running efficiently. But I warn you, not all probiotics are created equal. In fact, a major national grocery store that we just talked about just recently cracked down on unhealthy snacks with probiotic claims. They removed many of these items from their shelves. More and more companies are going to jump on this bandwagon, and you know, you're going to start seeing a lot less of that. It's a marketing ploy. You need to do a daily probiotic program, and you need to take Natron's Healthy Trinity, the world's absolute absolute best probiotic. They're the company that started the whole category decades ago. Natren is the only probiotic in the company in the world that provides you custom probiotic supplementation program. Like you just heard Natasha, you can call there, talk to her experts. They're dedicated probiotic consultants, and they'll take. They also do this 90-day risk-free challenge that you love. You could try it. If you don't feel the difference, you could just return it after 90 days. And the first 50 people who take that challenge right now will receive second-day delivery. To order right now, go to log on to natren.com, enter promo code 90 day. That's natren.com, promo code 90 day.